is a software developer, or software engineer, at in his day job. And this particular talk that he's doing, he's kind of done, I guess, an earlier version on a podcast called Hack Republic Radio. So a lot of what he's going to say here is going to be also sort of available on Hack Republic Radio if you go there and check his stuff out. And of course, Ohio Linux will also be posting the audio files of the talks online eventually as well. So that's about it. So again, take over.
Each one of those parts was at least a half an hour long, so I'm going to really condense this information in the 55 minutes. And I did this for work, it was over 2 hours. So it's going to be a very, very brief overview. If you have any further questions or interest, I suggest that you check out that series on Hack Republic Radio. So I'll cover the topics in more detail. But before I begin, I'm just curious, so I have an idea of what the audience is running. Do we have any Debian users here? Debian derivatives, Mephis, Ubuntu, Xandro. What about Fedora? All right, Red Hat distributions, CentOS, and Mandriva. Any OpenSUSE or SUSE users? Not too many. Okay, Gentoo. Now what about Vex? The best of the best, Slackware. Why? Slackware. All right, and Arch Linux, anybody? Okay. Well, I'm going, in the process of showing you the slides, I'm using virtual machines. So we're going to be looking at the Fedora 11, we're going to be looking at Debian, and Slackware 13, in conjunction with what I'm running on here for Ubuntu showing to you right now. So, the Linux boot process. One thing that's interesting about the different distributions of Linux is there's sometimes holy wars in the community. These aren't really holy wars like GNOME versus KDE, but some topics that you'll notice people argue about all the time, differences between distributions and package managers. When we're talking about Linux boot process, we got Lilo or Grub for bootloaders, modular versus a monolithic kernel, which we're going to cover. InitRD versus InitRAMFS, System5 versus BSD, and Init versus Upstart. People sometimes get a little passionate about these programs, but so there are some pretty controversial things in the Linux boot process, and some evolving things in the Linux boot process, which we are going to cover. So, and there's a lot of stuff, okay? So the Linux you used 5 years ago is significantly different than the Linux you're using today, which you might see in the Linux boot process. This is an overview of it, what we're going to cover, starting at the boot process when you go on the computer, your post, the BIOS going into the bootloader, which will kick off the kernel, whether you're using a modular or monolithic kernel, will determine whether you need an initializing RAM disk. Kernel's going to initialize the hardware and mount the root device to the process init or upstart. And you're going to hit your run level, and then that's going to put you into login. We're going to cover each of these steps individually, but that's the overview right there in a nutshell. Alright, so POST. Every time you turn on your computer, it goes through POST. You see that little screen that does a memory check. Sometimes it's a splash screen with the manufacturer's logo on it, and they hide the information behind there, and that's the BIOS picking up. At the point we're at right now, you're not really into Linux, you're into POST. The BIOS starts up, and by and large, Linux does not use the BIOS in your computer like Windows does. The only thing that's used at this point is the BIOS to kick off the boot manager, and the boot manager will use the BIOS to find your boot device that is going to start. So Linux by and large, doesn't use the BIOS. Now, the only time you might want to mess around with any BIOS settings is if you need to configure the boot device, switch it from a hard disk or a flash to a flash drive, or your CD-ROM drive. Other than that, you're not really going to need to use the BIOS, at all. Now, I will say that if you turn a device off in the BIOS, like your Ethernet card or your sound card, that's going to turn it off so it is not accessible to Linux. So just be aware of that, even though it doesn't use it. If the device is turned off, it's turned off through the operating system. Now, the bootloader. Once the BIOS finishes, host finishes, you need to have some kind of bootloader to start up your operating system. Typically, the bootloader is installed in the master boot record of the boot device, your hard drive, your flash drive, or CD-ROM. It's going to reside in the first 512 bytes of the boot device on the first sector. And like I said, it pulls the information about what devices it's going to be able to boot from the BIOS. So in the Linux world, we're going to cover four different bootloaders. Lilo, the Linux loader, Grub, Granny Unified Bootloader, Loadlin, and ISO Linux. Now Lilo is a pretty old bootloader. Most of you are not going to see Lilo anymore. Slackware uses Lilo, and I think Arch has the option to use it still, but most distributions have moved on to Grub. One of the downsides about Lilo is that it doesn't have file system recognition. So what it actually does when you install Lilo or run Lilo for the first time, it encodes the location of the kernel and the other operating systems that you might have in there, and it encodes the location of the kernel in the Lilo application in the master boot record. So if you ever change your kernel, upgrade your kernel, or make any kind of changes to the kernel, you have to make sure you reinitialize Lilo. Lilo, if you change your kernel, it's not able to find it after that until it's reinitialized. So be aware of that. Now, like I said, most of you will not have to worry about Lilo because you're never going to see it unless you're running Slackware. Lilo is configured by the etsylilo.com file. And actually, let me start up my Slackware virtual machine.